We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
For I handed on to you as the first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to the Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom still alive, though some have died.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain.
Do I need the mic? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. We'll do the mic.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm not a morning person, but golly.
It's pretty cool being out here, isn't it? What did they do on Easter morning without cell phone lights? Let's pray. God of grace and all life, may my mouth be your instrument and may our hearts be your dwelling place this morning. Amen and amen. So I have a nephew named Noah. Noah was born at 26 weeks. Now, for those of you who know, the proper pregnancy would normally go 40 weeks. And so you can imagine our concern when little Noah came into the world at 26 weeks. It was not a good thing. He was so tiny, so small, you can't even imagine. You could see through his skin. The doctors quickly took Noah and immediately trying to assess the situation. They hooked all kinds of wires and tubes up to him. And in those next few days, weeks, months, we just kind of monitored the situation and prayed for him. The doctors told us that if he survived, he would probably have permanent disabilities. I am happy to say that just last week, little Noah celebrated his 11th birthday. He is a healthy, happy boy. And his mom posted pictures on Facebook of those first few days, just as a reminder of what God had done. And we praised God and we thanked God for little Noah. He's growing up. He's not so little anymore. But I tell you that story because, as some of you probably know firsthand, pregnancy and birth, while it should be a celebrated occasion, it's not always that way. Sometimes it's filled with stress and anxiety. And I think that was the case for the Apostle Paul, according to his letter to the Corinthians that we just heard. Now, before I get into the text, what Paul was writing to the Corinthians, I want to give you a little background because I'm a Bible nerd and there's just some things I think are really, really cool. about this. First of all, the text that the young ladies just read for us, this is the absolute oldest written account that we have of the Easter story. Amazing. Predates the Gospels. Oldest account that we have. Paul wrote this probably 20 to 30 years after Jesus was involved in his ministry, and after the whole crucifixion and resurrection, 20 to 30 years after that. And, you know, Paul didn't know Jesus personally. He's heard stories about Jesus, and he is passing along this information to the Corinthians. He's saying, folks, he died according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised according to the scriptures. And then he starts listing all of these people that Jesus appeared to. And then Paul makes this statement, and he says, and last of all, he appeared to me as one untimely born. And that phrase, untimely born, very strange phrase. I see Richard shaking his head, yes. Strange phrase. You know, at first glance, we may be tempted to say, okay, Paul is saying, you know, he was born late, came to the game late. You know, I mean, he's saying he was the last to meet the resurrected Christ, right? All the people that he listed that Jesus appeared to, most of them knew him personally during his ministry. He even lists his brother James. Paul's not in that camp. The best guess that we have is that this encounter that Paul had took place 2 to 3 years after Easter, which, by the way, that just goes to show you that the power of Easter is not limited to a Sunday morning only. But you take all these things, and I think probably a lot of pastors would be tempted to preach a sermon that says, well, Paul's saying he's late to the game. But I don't think that's the case. Because if you look at the Greek that we translate into untimely born, it's the word ektroma. It's the only time it's used in the whole New Testament. And ektroma literally means premature birth, maybe even miscarriage. It's just got this idea of a birth gone wrong. It's almost as if Paul is saying, before I was ready, Jesus met me where I was and called me to radical change as a follower of his. Paul had met Jesus when he least expected it. According to the book of Acts, this encounter with Jesus left him dazed, confused, and blind. Golly. Paul had been thrust into the light of God's truth like a child who was born before he was ready. Just like my nephew Noah. Can you imagine what a scary time that was for Paul? You know what he was on his way to do when he met Jesus, according to Acts. He was persecuting the church. He says it in this text. I'm the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. And so the church that he's trying to destroy, he comes to find out has a Savior that is very real and is very much alive. And so, how does Paul interpret this scary event? Well, he says it. At the end of that text, in verse 10, he says, his grace toward me has not been in vain. Amazing. Paul comes to understand this event, this radical event, as grace, God's grace. Paul didn't think he was ready. But God knew better. God knew that the church was going to need someone to write letters of encouragement. And those letters would end up becoming our sacred text, our Bible. God knew that the church needed someone who was a testimony of radical change and a witness to that. And that not only is God calling Paul to that, but he's calling others. You and me. God knew that the church would need someone who was willing to travel many miles outside of the circumference of the Holy Land to spread the gospel. And boy, Paul fit the bill. He did it. You know, God has a way of doing that. God has a way of meeting us where we are, taking our insecurities, and he turns them into powerful tools. Powerful tools of testimony and witness for him. So, Paul got one thing wrong in his discourse. He said, I was the last to meet the risen Christ. I would argue that folks have been encountering the risen Christ for 2,000 years. Amen. Power of Easter goes way beyond Easter morning. So my question is, what does an encounter with Christ look like for you? I don't know. Perhaps you sense a college choice and a career in the future that seems overwhelming, daunting. Paul had a career change in that moment. Maybe like Paul, it means you need to change your perception about who you think God is and his attitude toward you. Maybe it means befriending someone who's radically different than you. Perhaps an encounter with Christ means it's time to forgive yourself for mistakes that you've made in the past that God is not holding against you. I don't know. I don't know what an encounter with Christ looks like for you, but I do know that sometimes the safest place that you can be is the very place that feels scary and feels overwhelming and is filled with stress and anxiety. I think the safest place is in the very presence of a God who is alive and real and loves you perfectly. So I ask you, do you feel like you are not ready for whatever it is God is calling you to? Do you feel like you are not the person for the job? I think the Apostle Paul felt the very same way. But God used him in mighty ways, and he can use you too. He can use us. When we follow his call, God's grace will not only empower us for the job, but it will flow through us to impact other people. That, folks, that's the power of grace. That is the power of Easter. And so my prayer for all of us on this Easter morning, as we depart from this place, is that he would take us out of our comfort zones and into the very presence of his love and his truth, so that his power and his kingdom might be made known on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's give a round of applause to the kids. Thank you so much for leading this. This is one of my favorite services. It's great every year. And so, if y'all will stand, grab the hand of the person next to you, and receive this blessing and benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, as you leave from this place, may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do that will ever make God love you any less. Because when he looks at us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we've made. He simply says, wow, you are nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your Easter day would be like if you left here believing that? I think y'all would have a great day. God bless. Go in peace. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Amen.